Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Time slipped away tonight, hasn't it? Man, you said, in a very loud voice, Pastor. Well, we won't spend a lot of time tonight. We won't keep you on this beautiful evening too late. I want to talk to you tonight about the power of this word, the word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, I just ask tonight that you might excite us regarding the possibilities of this word of yours, the possibilities in our own personal lives. So, Lord, we just commit this time to you now. We ask for your anointing in the midst of your word into each heart here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. My text is in Ezekiel 12 and verse 25. The word of God says there, "For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." I want to encourage you tonight in the power of the word of God. This word which he's left for us, which has survived persecution and attack down through the centuries, and still is in our hands, still his word. The enemy's been unable to destroy it. He's been unable, despite his attempts, to pervert it, and we still have that word preserved for us. A word of power, a word which I hope encourages you. Now, the word is a great mystery. I want to deal very briefly with that mystery. In John 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Now, let me give you my interpretation of that, if I may. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was God the Son. Because that's literally, I believe, what it means. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word as the Son was with God, and the Word itself was an expression of God himself, as our words are an expression of us. Then down in verse 14 it says, the disciple speaking, John 1 verse 14, "And we beheld him as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Says a little bit more. And the word of verse 1, the word that was with God, "The Word was made flesh," it says, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Bible tells us that the Word came down to earth and came down in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the apostles were able to say, "We beheld him. We beheld the Word." So there's a mystery there. This fragment of God's word, because that's all it is a fragment of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he was, in a mystery, the word of God. Now that's not an easy thing to understand. And the things you can't understand, don't wrestle too much with. If the word says it, believe it, put it on the shelf till you get more understanding. So we have a mystery in this word. It's not just a book like other books which you can buy in bookshops. It's not a book like any other book in the world. It is a book which in a mystery is an expression of God himself. It's a book which is an expression of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he came to show us the Father. Now, the next thing I want to say about this wonderful word is that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit have always flowed together. And one without the other appears as if they are at a loss. God's pattern is that the Word and the Holy Spirit flow together. In Genesis 1:1-3, we see that happening. And there, right in the very beginning, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Here was the Spirit of God moving across the chaos which was there in the beginning. Apparently the world was covered with water. And then in verse 3 it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." What happened? We're not told in detail. There's very little detail in those early chapters. But one thing is apparent to me as I understand through much scripture the functioning of the Word and the Spirit, that when God sent forth his Word, God said, immediately the Holy Spirit took hold of that Word and brought it into expression on the ground. He was the chief executive officer, if you like, and he takes the Word and he brings it into expression. We see this over and over again in Ezekiel 2:1-2. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me up upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." So when God spake to the prophet, the Spirit came upon him and enabled him to receive the word that was being spoken to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 3, you remember when he was baptized, and here was the Son, the Word, that mystery of the Word becoming the Son. Here was the Word being baptized, and the Holy Spirit as a dove coming down upon him out from heaven. Once again, the Word and the Spirit together. In Acts 10:44, when Peter was down at Cornelius' house speaking, it says there that while Peter yet spake these words, he was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. Pardon me. Excuse me. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." As the word was being preached, the Holy Spirit just came upon that word. And so we can go on and on. It seems to me as if this river of God is formed, the bed of it, is formed by this word, and then the Holy Spirit flows in the bed of that river. All right. Now, God has never stopped speaking his word. And that's an exciting thing for us to know. In Hebrews 1 and the first two verses. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." So we find as we read the word that God never has stopped bringing forth his word. He spoke to Adam. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or he spoke through his Son. And now he continues by bringing to us, even in this day, revelation out from his own word. When God himself spoke, we see in the word of God that he brought forth creation. Then when the prophets spoke, we know how they brought forth the prophetic word. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he brought forth salvation and healing and deliverance and forgiveness and restoration. When the disciples spoke, the kingdom began to expand and to grow. And now in this day in which we live, when we speak, the same things happen as happened in the Lord's day, in the day of the disciples. And the kingdom continues to grow. We saw the kingdom growing tonight in that baptismal pool. And people are saved, and people are healed, and people are delivered, and people are restored, and relationships are restored, and the work of God continues as the word of the Lord goes forth out from the church. God has never stopped speaking. Now today, the Holy Spirit continues to open this word. In this last move of the Holy Spirit that we've been through in the last 20 years, we've seen God, by his Spirit, emphasize many new aspects in the word. They weren't unknown before, but they were emphasized. Baptism in water by immersion was emphasized again. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. We had the whole of the charismatic move when hundreds of thousands across the world, millions of mainstream denominational people have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, with all the equipping and the energizing and the enthusiasm and the love for God and the love for this word that that brings forth in those who experience it. The whole of the area of discipleship was brought forth, of healing, of the positive message, of the prosperity message, of deliverance from demon bondage. God never stops speaking. God continually is opening his word and breaking something new out into the body. Now some people doubt the word of God, unfortunately. Not only people sitting in the pews, but there are modern theologians, there are liberal theologians who also don't believe the word, literally, and have spread unbelief right through the body. But 2 Timothy 3:1 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we choose what we believe. It's your choice, it's my choice. We believe what God says in his word. It's either all correct or it's all wrong. It's either a fake. When God says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, either that's not true and it wasn't written by him, and if that's the case, the whole book's worthless, or it is the word of God. We either believe God and we believe he is powerful enough to get his word into our hands today exactly as he wants it, or we believe the unbelievers with their scorn and their mockery and their unbelief. You need to understand that this word is not a word which can be understood intellectually. They've put this word into computers, they've proved that different books from the computers, they've proved that different books were not written by the authors, or some chapters were written by the authors, some other chapters were not written by the authors. I proved all sorts of things to throw doubt upon this word. But unfortunately, it's not a word that can be understood by computers, nor by intellectualism. It's a word that is not naturally discerned. It is a word which is spiritually discerned. I want us to look for a moment at the power that is with God's word. I'm just going to read two scriptures. Acts 4. Have your Bibles. You might like to turn this one up. Acts 4, 29 to 31. These are beautiful scriptures. Here we have Peter and John. They've just been released. They were apprehended. They were questioned. They've just been released and told not to preach the word anymore. And in verse 29, they're praying. The whole church is praying. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Isn't it interesting how the word of God is to be preached? By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And verse 33, a verse that never ceases to stir me. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The power of the word to heal, to bring forth signs and wonders. Great power was upon them. Acts 8. Here we have Philip going out ministering the word. Very interesting story. They appointed Philip a deacon, laid hands on him, ordained him, setting him aside as a deacon. Out he went preaching, and he had a revival. It's dangerous to set people aside as deacons sometimes. Acts 8, 5 to 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In the early church, when the disciples went out preaching, they had signs, wonders, and miracles. The two went together, scripture after scripture, as I am showing you tonight. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I bet there was. So many examples in the word, of the word having power. Peter received a word, didn't he? Remember the Lord walking on the water? Called out to Peter, he said, ask me to come to you, Lord. And the Lord Jesus said, come. Peter only got one word. He stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. Most people tell us how he sank. I like to talk about the fact that initially he walked. He only sank, what it says in the word, when he looked at the sea, realized he was doing that which he couldn't do. Unbelief got hold of him and he sank. But initially he walked, and he didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word he had been given, and on the power that was in that word. The centurion who came to the Lord Jesus, he said, you don't have to come to my sick servant. I'm a man under authority. When I give orders, those orders are obeyed. If you give an order, your order will be obeyed. Jesus said, that's great faith. And he prayed for the servant, and in that self same hour, that servant was healed. The word of the Lord had power to heal that servant away in some other place. The disciples with the fishing nets, you remember, they fished all night. There were no fish biting at that particular time. And Jesus said to them, let your nets down. The time was wrong. The fish weren't there at any rate. They told him that. But Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let the nets down. And they did, and they broke the nets. They got such a great haul of fish. So we could go on and on and on. The power that is in the real word of God. The word of God operates absolutely regardless of circumstances. It's our faith in that word which is of tremendous importance. The word itself is above all circumstances. The power in that word is greater than any power in any circumstance in this old world of you, of ours. And that word, this word, is for you too. Particularly if you get a quickened word from the Lord. Now we don't all get quickened words, but when we don't, we've still got this word. So we've always got the Logos. Sometimes we get a quickened word. And when we get a quickened word from the Holy Spirit, that word will have power in it for you if only you'll release your faith in it. Power to heal your sick. Or if you're the sick one, to heal you. To fill you as he filled the nets. To deliver you as those people were delivered in the verses we read about. To enable that miracle that seems such an impossibility to you to take place. If you have a quickened word, that word has power in it to meet your every need. Do you believe it? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you all say amen?
Amen?
Amen. So we need to spend time in the Word. We need to know that Word. I want to exhort you to spend time in this Word. And particularly if you're a leader, a church and the home leader, or a care cell leader, or youth leader, or Sunday school teacher, if you've got leadership of some sort in the assembly, then you need to saturate yourself with this word. Make time. You have the Word of God. It's not a book. It's not a book like some other library book. It is the Word of God. It has power to touch and change and transform your life. And I exhort you to get into it, and to read it, and to know it, and to saturate yourself with it. And as you begin to do this, and do it with pure motive and an upright heart, right purposes, then the Holy Spirit will begin to flow on this word, or whatever part of it you have absorbed, because the Holy Spirit always comes upon the Word of God. The two always go together. He'll make it flesh in you, even as he made the word flesh in Mary when she conceived from the Word of God that came. So he'll do the same in you. It will become part of your makeup. Many Christians become discouraged. They go for a while. Then they get hurt, they get wounded, they get discouraged, they get disappointed. But they've never fed on this word. They've never partaken of its strength, of its inspiration, of its vision, of its nourishment. They've never done it. They've listened, but they've never acted. If you do that, and if you will do it persistently, this word will transform your life, both in your spirit, in your mind, and your body. And of that there is absolutely no doubt. I think one of the real testimonies in my own life of the power of this word is with Jill herself. Now, most of you have heard Jill's testimony of that deliverance she had some 22 years ago. Myself and two elders ministered to her at least one night a week for about 3 to 4 hours for 12 months. And at the end of that year, she was gloriously, wonderfully delivered. But outside of that deliverance ministry, something else was going on. Come on, Jill, just quickly come up and briefly share with us what was happening.
During this time of deliverance ministry, of course, my mind, my emotions were in complete chaos. And I had made out an exercise book of all the positive scriptures that I could find relevant to my case. One such scripture, a favourite one, was found in Isaiah, and it was, "The Lord God shall help me, therefore I shall not be confounded. I have set my face like flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed." And I can remember when the enemy used to really rise up and bring tremendous confusion into my life. I would get hold of this little book. It was my second Bible. And I would walk up and down the living room and I would quote these scriptures at him. And I would say, I know I shall not be ashamed because God's word says I shall not be ashamed. And I have set my face like flint and it will continue to be set like flint. And many a time I have ripped that little exercise book up because the enemy was so strong at the time that he couldn't stand it and he would rip it up. I would rip it up and then I'd have to turn around and write them all out again. I can remember saying to God at one stage, what is the use of me reading this word? I would pick up the Bible, I would read a verse of scripture and not be able to remember one word. I would read it again and this would go on and on. I couldn't tell you one word I had read. And I cried out to God and I said, what is the use of me reading this word? Why? I can't remember a thing. And it was, as Pastor Oxley was saying just a moment ago, sometimes there are scriptures that are truly quickened into your life. And this was one of those scriptures into my life, once again found in Isaiah, where God says, my word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that to which I have sent it. And I knew then that even though I didn't understand or remember the words that I was reading, those words, the word of God, was going deep within my spirit. And deep within my spirit they would take root and bring forth fruit. And they have. And I thank God for it. It's because of standing on this word, having deliverance ministry, and the grace of God that I was set completely free.
Hallelujah. Well, that's a very real testimony and one which I remember so well because we were laboring pretty hard in that deliverance ministry. Jill was holding every inch we gained in that word. And the two of them are always necessary. I wonder what your need is tonight. The Word of God can work effectually in your personal life. I would advise you, if you have a problem, to take all the scriptures you can find. If you haven't got a concordance, go to somebody who has and get them to help you. And find all the scriptures you can find concerning your problem and the promises concerning your problem and write them down in a book, as Jill used to. And then start using that book. Start reading it. Start walking up and down and saying them over and over and over. They will, like they did to Jill at times, seem quite useless. But she was feeding her spirit. And the Spirit of God, because she was a born-again creature who was in her spirit, responded to those words and started making them flesh in her. Started building into her the reality of those words. To her mind it was useless, but the Spirit of God always works with the Word, and He worked with the Word in her life, and He'll work with the Word in your life. Do something about your problem. Get to the Word of God. Examine the Word of God. Write down the words which are important for your need. Read them, study them, learn them, use them, take action, apply them, and you will get a result in your life too. Tonight, the word of the Lord is loosed in the sanctuary. It has power for you if you have faith in it. No doubt. It has power to save. It has power to heal. It has power to deliver from bondages. There's power to bring mercy and forgiveness and peace and harmony. It has power to restore relationships. It has power for your need tonight.